10. They come to the wire, and Ali Sheba, America's horse, has done it.
9.
The incomparable, invincible, unbeatable cigar.
8.
Alphabet Soup has scored a shocking upset. Cigar has been denied.
7.
Here is our king to win it in an absolute shocker. He's 99-1.
6.
And Coach Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
5.
This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance, one we'll never forget.
4.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
3.
Wise Dan's got him. Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile.
2.
He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
1.
California Chrome, Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome, Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence. Now, live from Clocker's Corner at Santa Anita, here's Bobby Newman and Megan Devine.
A montage of fantastic Breeders' Cup moments from the past, from the iconic voices of Tom Durkin, Kurt Becker, Trevor Denman, and Larry Colmes lead us in to Breeders' Cup Countdown on Wednesday morning, October 3rd, with Bobby Newman alongside Megan Devine on another chilly Southern California morning, but a perfect morning, 48 degrees here just above Clocker's Corner at the quarter pole at Santa Anita Park. Not a cloud in the sky. The San Gabriel Mountains just up in front of us to the north of the track. Horses out on the training track working now. Megan, another beautiful day here at Paradise.
It is a nice crispy morning, and it's perfect weather. We talked about it yesterday for all the horses, the Europeans especially, but they are all feeling good. We're all feeling good. You can feel the excitement here at the track. The crowds are a lot bigger than they were yesterday, so it's palpable out here at Santa Anita Park.
We've got a great show on tap for you today. Six, count them, six major players coming on set and on mic with us later on this morning. We'll get to that in a minute, but let's take a look at what we've got right now in front of us and what's already happened this week. First of all, most of the major work is done for the Breeders' Cup runners. Of course, the big days for the runners are either Friday if they're the two-year-olds and Saturday for the three-year-olds and up. No major workouts, I think, scheduled for the rest of the week. I think we've seen most of that. We're still going to see a lot of the Breeders' Cup entrants out here stretching their legs throughout the morning here at Santa Anita. 48 degrees as of right now. It's going to warm up to the mid-70s by later today. Friday, by midday, it's supposed to be 80 degrees. Saturday, 82. No chance of rain, according to those that supposedly know. Not going to be windy. Really, absolutely perfect conditions. And you can see it with the horses right now. They love this cooler, crisper morning weather.
They certainly do. And we'll see more horses as they start to continue to ship in. There are still horses that need to get here. The Europeans, as they come out of quarantine, we'll see a lot more of them throughout the morning. And we might see a few more drills here and there. Some people will blow them out a little bit later. We saw a couple yesterday, but it's definitely less than what we saw this weekend. So horses are putting in their final preparations. They're just about done. Now it's just about keeping everything nice and tidy and being ready for the race on Friday and Saturday.
Racetrack is being harrowed right now. After this break, we'll probably see most of the remaining Breeders' Cup entrants stretching their legs. They come out really in droves right after this break, mm-hmm. and there are so many of them, it's hard to keep track, but we've got a great vantage point right here and getting to see some of the real superstars in the game jog by us one way or the other, whether they're stretching their legs and just getting in a little maintenance jog, or they're heading back to the barn. It's really the best spot you could be in the mornings.
Yeah, it is, certainly so, and we're excited to see all these horses. It's you better have your binoculars ready and be ready with your saddle towel sheet that they have that tells you exactly which horse is what, because they go by you pretty quick, so it's tough to keep track of. There's so many horses for the Breeders' Cup World Champions from all over the place, and it's nice to see them up close here at Clocker's Corner.
So the major news that's already happened this week, Monday was the big day with the post-position draws at 4 o'clock local time. Not too many real poor post draws for the major players. It sounded like John Sadler, the trainer of Catalina Cruiser, wasn't really thrilled with the number one post that Catalina Cruiser is going to have to break from in the Breeders' Cup Sprint.
Maybe Paradise Woods as well, the more I got Paradise into my handicapping.
Right, and it's not because the inside post is a bad spot. Most people would want the inside post going two turns here at Santa Anita. However, she's not. She hasn't been the greatest actor in the gate in the past and has a tendency to, well, I don't know if she breaks slowly or break a half a step slow, where the inside post could actually be a hindrance to her. So if she can get out from the rail, it's going to be the best post she could be in. But, of course, you don't know that when you're sitting there handicapping.
And in her races, too, she's 0-3 when breaking from the rail in her career. And she's one of those fillies that she gets upset about things. She's very touchy, very sensitive, this one. But she's very talented if it all goes her way. But we'll see. The one hole could be a bit overwhelming for a horse like that.
And I think it's going to have to go all her way if she wants to beat somebody like Midnight Bisou, who's just on a roll right now. They're all probably going to have to run better than they have been in recent months if Midnight Bisou comes and runs her best race. We were hoping that the major news of the week would end on Monday and then we wouldn't get it until Breeders' Cup Friday. Unfortunately, that is not the case. We had two scratches out of the Breeders' Cup races yesterday. Maxfield, who would have been one of the favorites in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, came out, and Landeskog, who wouldn't have been one of the favorites in the sprint, but he was certainly one of the speed horses in the sprint, also coming out. What do we know about those two?
Well, with Maxfield, I actually went back to the barn yesterday to see Paul Madden, and Brendan Walsh wasn't there, but we'll have him on the show today. And he was laying down in his stall napping, according to assistant and excellent rider Paul Madden. The horse sleeps and eats all the time, so he's a happy colt, but he just had something a little bit off in, I think it was the right front. They're not sure exactly what it is. It could be a bit of an abscess, which is, it's basically like an ingrown pimple. It's quite annoying to horses, and it could be painful. You kind of have to wait for it to grow out a little bit or for it to burst. And then with Landeskog, Doug O'Neill saying he was just about 95%, not 100%. So they're going to wait for another day. He, after cooling out, he tied up, which is a bit like cramping up. So oftentimes that can, it's nothing too bad. They can certainly come back from that. It can happen from time to time, but they just decided he wasn't 100%. So they were going to wait for another day for him.
And as you're mentioning that, the track is now back open, and we're seeing a lot of the Breeders' Cup saddle cloths on runners coming by. So I saw Street Band earlier. She looked phenomenal heading back to the barn. Giant Expectations just went by, and they're coming out. As we said, no major works coming up. They're just stretching their legs and getting a feel for the track. I know we've had a lot of schoolers in the paddock here. It's a beautiful big paddock that some of the horses are not used to here at Santa Anita, so a little bit different than some places. But getting back to both Maxfield and Landeskog, first reports doesn't sound like anything horribly serious for either of the runner. And lucky for us, we're going to speak to both Brendan Walsh and trainer Doug O'Neill on the show today. So we'll get to find out a little bit more. It's not going to be a gloom and doom type of thing. Oh, woe is me. I think it could have been a lot worse. Both horses should be back to fight another day, and maybe not in the too distant future.
Well, and, you know, it just goes to show, Bobby, as well, these are horsemen, and, I mean, it's a lot like, think about the marathon. If you're going to run the New York City Marathon, you have to have everything go right that entire week leading up. If anything is off, you know you're not going to perform at your best. These trainers know their horses. Think about how much money is on the line as well for these purses, and, of course, the credentials, the fame, and the fact that the horse is 95%, not 100, but they're going to make the decision not to run it. Even at that high percentage, the horse is mostly okay, but he's not perfectly okay. And it just goes to show you how much these horsemen care about these horses and that their welfare comes first always.
And that's exactly the way it should be. So we mentioned we have a full show coming up today. Six guests lined up for you. We've got Joe Migliori, who's a partner associate for West Point Thoroughbreds. They've got Decorated Invader in the juvenile turf. We're going to have trainers Doug O'Neill, Brendan Walsh, and Mark Cassie aboard, all with several runners. Well, Brendan Walsh now one runner as Maxfield scratch. He's got Vitalogy in the juvenile turf. I wonder if that horse was named for the Pearl Jam album back in the 90s.
Could be. He's on by Guitar Racing, so I don't know.
Doug O'Neill's got five runners entered in the Breeders' Cup races. Mark Cassie has got six, including Got Stormy, who may be favored in her race in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Jockey Abel Cedillo, who's really taken Southern California by storm, is going to be on with us. And this is a jockey that most people around the country hadn't heard of a few years ago. He's riding both Paradise Woods and Mongolian Groom, two big shots in two of the biggest Breeders' Cup races on Saturday, the Distaff and the Classic. And we're also going to have Bradley Weisbord, the founder and managing partner of Elite Sales, on with us. And they've just had a whirlwind of great business over the last 2 years. And among others, they are going to be consigning Midnight Bisou in the Fasig Tipton sale coming up November 5th. So a full morning, and we're looking forward to it. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Red Brand Fence.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Curlin, the leading yearling sire by average. The sire of a $4.1 million sales topping colt in September, a $1.5 million Saratoga sales topper, and a $3.65 million Gulfstream sales topper. In 2019, Curlin is the sire of 10 greatest stakes winners with progeny earnings of more than $10 million. The number one sire of million-dollar sale yearlings. Curlin, standing at Hillendale.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday with the Racing Feast, Wednesday, November 27th, featuring the $1 million Land of Enchantment Day at Zia Park with seven stakes races, headlined by the $250,000 Zia Park Derby and the $250,000 Zia Park Oaks. Free nominations for all the Land of Enchantment Day stakes close November 15th. For more information, call 575-492-7086 or go to ziaparkcasino.com.
Adina Springs Stallion, Ghost Zapper. The consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One of the head and eight thrillers!
Santa Anita Handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney Handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
In 2019, Ghost Zapper is the sire of double-digit stakes winners for the seventh straight year, and his current stars include Del Mar Futurity winner Nucky and three-year-old Philly sensation Guarana.
On to another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the Coaching Club American Oaks over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant, Ghost Zapper, standing at Adina Springs. Visit adinastallions.com.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Cadet Connolly in front by a length and a half. In second is Please Call Me Back. Then Zoological down the outside. Decorated Invader. Vitalogy is getting to work as well. And out wide, Talking's finishing on. Decorated Invader coming with a rush. Decorated Invader on the outside and up the rails, finishing his Proven Strategies. Decorated Invader's got to the front. Vitalogy down the outside, but Decorated Invader with lots left wins the Summer Stakes by a length and three quarters. Cadet Connolly and Vitalogy with Proven Strategies on the inside in a three-way photo for the Miners with a very big win by Decorated Invader, 136.34.
Decorated Invader winning the Grade 1 Summer Stakes at Woodbine last time out, and he is going to be one of the ones in the juvenile turf coming up on this Friday afternoon here at Santa Anita Park here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown alongside Megan Devine. I'm Bobby Newman, and pleased to be joined right now by Joe Migliori, the partner associate for West Point Thoroughbreds, owner of Decorated Invader, 4-1 on the morning line in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Joe, how are you?
Thanks for having me out here, guys. I just adjust the mic for a second here. But, no, yeah, the horse is actually out on the track now and excited to watch him train. He got here on Monday and had his first day on the track yesterday. You know, I've been at Belmont Park pretty much throughout his entire preparation. After winning the Summer Stakes, he had four breezes down there. You know, knock on wood, we're still a few days away, but he has done everything perfectly up to this point, and we're very, very excited about our chances on Friday.
He's a horse that's improved with each and every start. Not too surprising for a two-year-old. Good second-place finish in his initial maiden race up at Saratoga. Came back with a resounding win next time out at Saratoga, and then ambitiously placed in the Grade 1 Summer Stakes at Woodbine, and he won that very impressively. Irad Ortiz aboard again, getting Lasix for the first time, but first time, you know, 3,000 miles away. How did he ship? How are things going since he got here?
One of the incredible qualities of this colt as well has been his mind. You know, he was broken by Eddie Woods down in Ocala, and, you know, he was right at the top of the class from the start. I wouldn't say he was the flashiest horse that we had down there. I think, you know, he didn't really truly begin to distinguish himself until he shipped up to Christoph. But the one thing we always knew was that, you know, mentally very calm about everything, handles everything like a real professional, you know, looks like an older horse, acts like an older horse. We couldn't be more confident.
How important is that for, we talked a little bit about that yesterday with the mental game, especially with these juveniles, you know, when they act like an older horse, you say that, we talked about just how important it is for them to almost be like a three-year-old at this stage because it's such high pressure. These races are so big. These horses are so talented. How much of that really goes into effect for him?
Oh, you know, I think it's a huge factor in his success up to this point. You know, even the ship to Woodbine, you know, that's nowhere near the ship that is, you know, quite out here, mm-hmm. but you know, every time you see him school, you know, even when after Woodbine, you know, he came down to Belmont for the first time and we were hoping that there would be, you know, no problems there because we wanted to get right to training on him for this race. And, you know, first day he trained at Belmont Park, I remember, you know, standing with Christoph as he walked into the paddock and he, you know, led a big string of horses in there like he'd been there a million times. So to have that composure is key. And, you know, obviously there's going to be some very big crowds here as well, you know, bigger crowds than he's probably, you know, seen to this point, you know, on Friday. So we're confident in how he's going to handle it. And we just hope we get the trip now.
Christoph Clement is an unbelievably talented trainer. Of course, he won the Belmont Stakes with Tonalist in 2014 and has multiple second and third place finishes in the Breeders' Cup. Right. How confident is he that he might be able to get that elusive Breeders' Cup win with this horse?
You know, it's obviously become, you know, a little bit of a story, but look, I've been close with the Clement family in my whole life, even just growing up, you know, at the track when my dad was riding. My dad rode for him a little bit, and he's an exceptional trainer. Just his attention to detail with each and every horse in his barn is second to none. And look, he has not just one, but many of these Breeders' Cups with his name on them. They haven't happened yet. He's been painstakingly close with some very, very talented horses. Yeah. And when you really break down his record in the Breeders' Cup here, all of his horses have run well. He had, you know, Gio Ponti run second to two, you know, legends in Zenyatta and then Goldakova. You know, we were even actually involved in one of those second place finishes we had at Del Mar a couple of years ago. A two-year-old filly called Best Performance, who ran in the Juvenile Fillies Turf, and she came running late and just missed getting up against Rushing Fall. You know, so look, there's been several other prominent trainers over the years that, you know, maybe have had that goose egg on their Breeders' Cup record for a little while.
John Sadler last year.
I think it was worth the wait for
John. Yeah, exactly.
Right. It was worth the wait.
You know, even long ago, you know, Bobby Frankel before that, you know, had a bit of a Breeders' Cup drought. And look, Christoph's going to get his win. I hope it's with us because that would be, you know, very sentimental, special feeling for myself and the West Point team.
Your horse is on the track right now. I think we just saw him go by.
Yeah, he just went by.
So what's the plan for him for the first day? No, you said he's been here since Monday.
Yesterday was the first day. Okay. I think he just jogged. I got here yesterday, so I didn't see him yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know he looked like he was having a good, you know, steady gallop here. You know, all the real preparation is done. His work two back was in company with a very nice older horse that Christoph has. And he broke off three or four lengths behind him. And when, you know, Irad was on him that morning, when he opened his hands, you could just see how quickly he closed the distance between him and his workmate. Mm-hmm. You know, the turn of foot he has was very impressive. And The real stuff is done. This is just maintenance at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this something when you have Irad Ortiz, who's, if not the top rider in the country, certainly one of the top riders in the country riding, and he's ridden Deck Raiden Vader in the past, when it comes to the time when you're in the paddock, is Christoph giving instructions to Irad? Does Irad know what he's supposed to do or where he wants to be with this horse?
Well, I think Christoph will certainly be giving a few instructions. He's very communicative with all of his riders about trip and placement and things like that. But look, Irad knows this horse. He's handicapping the race as well. We drew perfectly. I was watching the post position draw at home, and the first pill out of the jar was number four. I said, it'd be really cool if they called our name right now. and then they did. It was the first pill that came out. And then you turned off the draw. and then we didn't have to sweat the rest of the way. But look, he's drawn perfectly, I think, in a spot where it gives Irad a lot of flexibility to, you know, get some, you know, he's not going to be too close to the pace, I don't think, but he gets some forward position and be able to hold his spot and save a little bit of ground at the same time. Look, Irad has put in some masterpiece rides in the Breeders' Cup over the past few years, and we have full confidence in him. And look, whatever he wants to do out there, I'm completely comfortable with.
Speaking with Joe Migliori from West Point Thoroughbreds, partner associate with West Point. And West Point, they've had a lot of success over the years. To date, 3,259 starters, 579 wins, purses in excess of $32 million. And this is a group where anybody can get involved and become an ownership partner with West Point. How does somebody, what does West Point do, I don't know if you want to say, to recruit people as owners, or what do people want to do, you know, when they first get together with West Point? What's the process as far as becoming an owner or a co-owner with West Point?
Absolutely, and you know, we take on many new partners every year. We're to the point that we have 75 active horses in training, and that's spread out over, you know, up over 400 partners involved in those 75 horses. You know, each horse is their own individual partnership, so it gives people a lot of flexibility to say, hey, I want 5 or 10% of one horse, or maybe I want 5 or 10% of, you know, 20 horses. The partners can really gear, you know, can structure it, you know, the way they want to have their experience. And, you know, a lot of the newer people that come in, I always recommend maybe try to, you know, get involved in a small piece of two or three horses, because, like, as we all know in this business, not every horse is going to pan out. Not every horse is going to be, a stakes competitor or a high quality competitor. But I think people notice right away when they get involved with us, you know, what distinguishes us is, I think, our communication and our attention to detail, and really, you know, kind of the team atmosphere that we create. I have some people that they might have one horse, they might have five horses, but every time they see those black and gold silks out on the track, you know, that's their team. That's the team they root for. That's the team that
now they weren't patterned after the HRRN logo with the black.
Think we can share the colors and represent them equally, right?
So when somebody's coming in and interested in being a partner on the horses, are these horses that West Point has already purchased at sales, or are people going in before the sales and saying, hey, I want a piece of, you know, two or three that you guys are going to buy?
So all the horses we buy, we buy a public auction, and we, you know, we buy with our own money, and then we syndicate them from there. So it's, we don't do any fundraising or anything like that beforehand. You know, we go to the sales and we look for the athletes, you know, we think have the best shot of taking us to events like this, and mm-hmm. and then we syndicate them out afterwards.
Such a great experience as well, because you guys are everywhere. But I mean, you've got horses that run at Saratoga, the premier meet of the summer. You've got horses here at the Breeders' Cup on all the big stages. The experience for the owners must be like nothing else.
It's really what, you know, what we're selling is that experience. I'm an East Coast guy. Coming out to California is, you know, a treat for me. It's either for events like this, or maybe, you know, the occasional weekend out at Del Mar. But, you know, I'm primarily at Saratoga, and we see over half our partnership base, of our entire partnership base, come through Saratoga, you know, in that 7-8 weeks that we're up there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every person is you know, plan that trip. That's their big summer trip. That's their, you know, their weekend that they've been looking forward to for so long. And it's up to us to create that fulfilling atmosphere where, you know, they're going to take that step behind the curtain. They're going to be on the backstretch at Saratoga. They're going to be talking to trainers, jockeys, you know, have all of the access
up close and personal with their horse.
Right. And you know, those stall visits are you know, some of the most rewarding times, especially, you know, people with kids. You know, I love taking, you know, families with young kids over to the barn just seeing, that's actually one of our fillies right there, Coach Rocks.
Feed a horse a peppermint and you'll be a fan for
and
life.
Coach Rocks would be the one to feed, bring a couple kids to feed a peppermint to. But look, it's again, a family atmosphere, a team atmosphere. We have a lot of fun, and you know, we try to have as much success as we can.
Who are some of the other horses, aside from Decorated Invader, that we may recognize that are in the West Point fold right now and either running other places or getting ready to run?
Yeah, so we are going to have a couple of horses running, you know, this weekend as well. On the undercard Friday, we have an exciting 2-year-old California bred named Cali Dude. He won first out impressively for trainer John Sadler, and he's going to be running in the I forget the name of the stake right now, but it's the 2-year-old, you know, dirt stake for California breds. And he has a very good shot in there. We're also going to be running Coach Rocks, who just jogged by us on the rail a second ago there. She's going to be running in the Goldakova Stakes on the turf. You know, Coach Rocks, definitely one that we've you know, had a great ride with. She took us to the Kentucky Oaks and a few other big spots. And, you know, those two out there this weekend. And really, you know, so many horses across the country that we're very excited about.
Once again, Megan Devine, Bobby Newman speaking with Joe Migliori, partner associate with West Point Thoroughbreds. They're going to send out Decorated Invader, one of the ones in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, to be run. It's race number 6 on the Friday card here at Santa Anita. Joe, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Certainly wish you nothing but the best both this Friday and with all the runners coming up. West Point has done such great things over the years, and if Irad Ortiz gives a normal Irad Ortiz ride on this horse, he is going to have a major shot when they make the swing for
home. We'll definitely hear you guys celebrating.
Yeah, if he turns for home with a shot, you will hear us from any part of this grandstand. I guarantee you that. And you'll hear
maybe
us that
New
night
York
as well. Look, we're incredibly excited about this weekend. We have, you know, over 100 partners just coming in for the race. You know, and enjoying the weekend. Everybody's kind of sitting together, and we're going to be loud, and we're going to have a good time, and make sure you have a small bet on Decorated Invader.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Joe. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Racing at Gulfstream.
Come out to Gulfstream Park on Friday, November 29th for the kickoff of the championship meet. Enjoy the heart-pounding excitement of live thoroughbred horse racing showcasing some of the best jockeys and horses in the world. Be one of the first to experience the all-new outdoor dining terraces or have brunch while viewing the racing at Ten Palms. Make sure to come early to get your free 2020 Gulfstream Park wall calendar while supplies last. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for details and a full schedule.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Menad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and Historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban by 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
Elite Sales is the number one consigner of horses of racing age and broodmare prospects. Their consignment at the Fasig Tipton Knight of Stars sale includes 5 individual Grade 1 winners. 5-time Grade 1 winner Midnight Bisou, Separation of Powers, Mia Mischief, Secret Spice, and Wildcat. At Keeneland November, Elite Sales is offering 2-time Grade 1 winner Spice Perfection, Grade 3 winner and Grade 1 placed Elysia's World, and Grade 2 winner Grade 1 placed Rimska in Book 1. Learn more at EliteRaceSales.com.
Do you watch races like the Kentucky Derby and wonder what it would be like to be in with a chance? With a live runner on horse racing's biggest stages, West Point Thoroughbreds can get you there. You can play in a big way right away. We've been doing it for 28 years. The Derby? Been there. Won that. Go online at westpointtb.com. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships.
Flatter,
This prolific son of AP Indy has sired 6 millionaires, including Eclipse champion West Coast. This year, he's adding even more stakes winners to his outstanding record, including Sovereign Award winner Avi's Flatter. His yearlings have topped the Phasic Tipton July sale 2 years in a row and sold up to $900,000 at Keeneland September. Success on the track, success in the ring. Flatter, standing at Claiborne Farm.
One book, one session, one spectacular evening. On November 5th, the stars will align at Phasic Tipton, featuring a catalog of top race fillies, world-class broodmares, and selected weanlings. A night of stars with over 60 graded stakes winners or producers and no less than 24 Grade 1 winners, champions, or producers. No sale offers a higher concentration of quality anywhere in the world. The world's premier breeding stock event, the November Sale, November 5th in Lexington, Kentucky. Where will you be?
Hi, this is Penelope Miller, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They're off the turn. His Glory's re-rallied down inside. His Glory is back in front. His Glory has taken over the lead at a big price and one furlong to go. Lazy Daisy right back at it at the outside. Portrait a little bit awkward there at the eighth pole, back in third, down to the final 16th. Lazy Daisy's re-rallied. His Glory's dead game toward the inside, but it is Lazy Daisy in front coming for the wire, and Lazy Daisy won it. Lazy Daisy beats the big long shot, His Glory. Portrait was third. Blood Curdling was fourth.
Travis Stone on the call of the Grade 2 Pocahontas Stakes at Churchill Downs, won by Lazy Daisy, one of two Doug O'Neill trainees set to go this Friday in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Bobby Newman and Megan Devine here at Clocker's Corner, Santa Anita Park, on a beautiful Wednesday morning for HRRN's Breeders' Cup Countdown, and we are pleased to be joined right now by trainer Doug O'Neill. Doug, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
We are great, and what a glorious week this is, not only weather-wise, but you can feel every day, as every minute we get closer, the excitement. And no doubt for you, you've got several runners in these Breeders' Cup races. You've got to be a busy man.
It is, yeah. No, you're right. The energy is fantastic, and yeah, we're just so honored and blessed and grateful to we've got like five horses running if all goes well, and yeah, it's going to be a great couple of days.
Doug O'Neill had seven horses entered for the Breeders' Cup races. Four left, who's also eligible for the Juvenile Turf Sprint. War Beast in the Juvenile Turf. Both Lazy Daisy and Comical will run for the Doug O'Neill Barn in the Juvenile Fillies Friday. Then on Saturday, you've got two in the Turf Sprint, Stubbins and Legends of War. And, of course, Landeskog was entered in the Sprint. Brief update on Landeskog. We know that you had to scratch out of the race. What's going on with him, and where may we see him next?
Landeskog breezed really well this past weekend and then cooled out a little bit, like he was tying up, like a little muscle discomfort. Looked okay the following day. Actually pulled a blood on him, and his muscle enzymes weren't elevated, so we're like, maybe it wasn't that. But couldn't find anything on his legs. Anyways, and then we did a nuke scan and did some x-rays and couldn't find anything, so we're just chalking it up to just not good timing. He's not right, and we're actually sending him to the farm for like 45 days, and we're going to get all excited about a 2020 campaign for him.
We were mentioning it at the top of the show, just because we're talking about the scratch of Maxfield and also your horse, and Doug, reading interviews, you said he's about 95%, and we just wanted to mention again just how much you put these horses first and that their welfare. I mean, even if it's just a touch off, you're not going to run them because it's not in their best interest, and all the care that goes into these horses from your team and the rest of the horsemen out here at Santa Anita.
100% correct, Megan. Thank you. And these owners, Eric Johnson and Dave Kenny and John Fuller and Saul Kuman, I mean, they're all just great to work with, so it's just such an easy move. And though these amazing horses don't talk like we do, you know, they do communicate, so it's just a matter of listening to them. And even for some reason, if we were deaf and dumb, the Breeders' Cup have a bunch of spotters and veterinarians that that keep you on your toes and make sure you listen to your horses. And then, of course, we got a great team of vets as well. So always horses first, and we're proud of that.
We look forward to seeing Landeskog and the next year. He'll be just in time for the Stanley Cup, right?
2020, baby. I love Avs win the Stanley Cup and Landeskog wins the Breeders' Cup.
Perfect.
Yes, I love it.
I'm going to the Kings game tonight against
me
Vancouver,
too.
By the way.
Hey, I'm going too, yeah.
Okay, well, we can Uber
I'll
carpool.
Yeah, I'll buy you a pop. I'll buy you a pop.
Absolutely. Okay. Talking with trainer Doug O'Neill. He's won 5 Breeders' Cup races thus far in his training career. Horses have earned just over $5.7 million.
Where did all that money go?
In Breeders' Cup prizes. Isn't that unbelievable?
Jeez, oh man.
And you've got several chances this year. Let's take a look right now at the ones running Saturday in the Turf Sprint. You're in the unique position where you're sending out two in there. Stubbins, be ridden by Flavien Pratt. By the way, Flavien Pratt's riding all 14 Breeders' Cup races.
Doesn't surprise me. He's such a gifted rider. Doesn't surprise me.
And Legends of War, who Rafael Bejarano will be on. Neither of these will be near the favorites in the race as far as the odds are going. Tell us a little bit about both Stubbins and Legends of War and what it's like sending out two runners in such a big race, what your responsibilities are.
Well, the first part of that, they're both coming off big races and wins and are continuing to hold their form and doing really well. You know, it is a blessing to have two in a race like this. And fortunately, they don't conflict. You know, their styles are a little bit different. I imagine Stubbins will be coming off the pace a little bit, and Legends of War will be more forwardly placed. But like all the Breeders' Cup races, as you look down the field, you know, it's such a tough spot. And though we think our two are really tough, you can make a case for anyone in this race. So going 5 furlongs on the turf, you just need things to really go your way, and hopefully they do for both of our guys.
Now for Stubbins, to give him a little bit of credit, I mean, which obviously he's in the Breeders' Cup, so he gets plenty, but he never finished worse than 3rd when sprinting. And talk about the bumping that he overcame at Keeneland last time. That was such an impressive race for him.
It really was, and Joel Rosario rode him last couple times, and it was just a grade one Hall of Fame ride, which Joel does all the time. And unfortunately, he had already committed to Eddie Haskell, so we weren't able to keep him aboard. But Flavien has won on Stubbins, I think we would all probably agree that you could put Pratt in the Rosario category of being a brilliant rider. So, going the 5.5 was Keeneland, and then going 5 here again, especially coming off the pace, you just got to be an amazing tailback, and you got to watch and look where the holes are, and when you see one, you got to go for it, and that's what Joel did, and we're hoping that's what Flavien will do as well.
Now, Legends of War, he's like the Fabio of the Doug O'Neill barn, isn't he? Isn't he of the long form?
Yeah, he's a handsome dude. No,
he's a fan favorite out there for many, and certainly very talented,
he's
too.
He's a barn favorite. We absolutely love him. Yeah, he's such a rock star, he's a horse that because of his sometimes laid-back nature, he sure seemed like two turns wouldn't be a problem. But as we tried that a couple of times, we realized he was yelling to us, "Get me back to one turn, please."
Right.
And we did, and he's coming off 2 wins. And, yeah, he's not only a handsome horse with long forelock, he's a talented horse. And Rafi knows him really well. And, we're excited. Both of them are really coming into it in good shape.
Your barn I mean, we've talked about this before, but the motto is why not us, right? Mm. And almost why not this spot, too? You take a horse like 4 Left in the juvenile turf sprints on Friday who's never been on the turf before. So why not?
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny with him? There hasn't been a ton of options for juvenile turfs out here. But he is a horse that we've been talking about wanting to sprint him on the grass and just haven't had the right time or setting, but he's coming off a nice win. He's doing well, and if you're a Tomlinson guy, you know, he's got a high turf number, and so the pedigree is there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we would need a lot of luck to get in, but he is doing well, and he will run if he's so lucky to land in the body of the race.
Well, not only do you have two horses in the same race Saturday in the turf sprint, you have two fillies in the same race Friday in the juvenile fillies. You have Lazy Daisy, who's 12-1 on the morning line. Rafael Bejarano back aboard this filly, coming off an impressive win in the Pocahontas in her last race at Churchill Downs. And Comical, who was narrowly defeated by Bast here in the Chandelier. This is it's interesting. There's an overlap of ownership with ERJ Racing on both of them, but then different partners. How are these two fillies coming into the race, and how do you see their styles playing out for the juvenile fillies this year?
Yeah, you know, the two really, really nice fillies, and Megan's been a huge advocate for Lazy Daisy. Thank you. And we've got a lot of new owners in her with my racehorse, so that's been awesome. And, you know, they're both extremely talented. They both act well beyond their two-year-old age. And, you know, as far as styles go, I think both of them could be near the front or come from out the pace. And, you know, I think Abel Cedillo, who basically had his choice of both, but as we all know, he can't ride both. he was in a tough spot, so it was kind of a coin toss, and he landed on Comical. But Rafael Bejarano, who's won on Lazy Daisy in her debut, seemed like a logical guy to, when we looked down in the bullpen, who was available. That was a no-brainer. So, and Rafi's come and worked her the last work or two. And, yeah, both are doing really well. And, yeah, it's just exciting to have a nice two-year-old filly who can turn, let alone having two of them. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Abel Cedillo on plenty of your horses, but you've really been the one to give him a chance here in Southern California when he first came down, and he's just absolutely exploded in his career. What is it about him as a rider that has allowed him to be so good that you've been able to see in him?
You know, I could probably take
we're
going
to have him
show.
On the show later.
He is such a good I think at the end of the day, you know, these horses are mirrors of ourselves. So, you know, you give the horses love, they give you love back. And I think Abel just gives horses so much confidence. He's so grateful and just humble when you see him. And yet he just gives horses confidence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's such a strong finisher, polite kid, work ethic. As good as anybody. And then of course his agent Tom Canoose, who's a Vietnam war veteran, and he's been working at the track for a long time. And he's a dear friend. He represents him, so that makes it so easy to he's a former racing secretary. He's done about it. I think he's ripped tickets. I think he's worked the parking lot. I think he sold a couple hot dogs in the past. Tom's just a great guy, huge advocate of the sport. And yeah, it's a real honor to be involved with Abel and Tom.
You've got War Beast in the juvenile turf, and you added blinkers 2 races back, which we talk about that a lot from a handicapping angle, what difference that can make, and it really seems like he found a whole new speed that he didn't have before. What was the thinking there when you saw this horse and said, you know what, let's try this?
Yeah, you know, he's a horse that when he came in to us, the Hinkle Farm bred him, and they were kind enough to, along with Eric and John Crespi, to let us train him. Kind of got a warning that, hey, this guy can be a little bit studdish. And lo and behold, after he started trying to hug everybody and high-five everybody, we're like, you know what, you're right. So, but he's a very talented horse, and I think the blinkers have just really that excitable, hey, everybody, I want to, you know, show everybody how amazing I am.
Right.
That energy has gone to focusing on running and competing, because he's a natural athlete. And
he's harnessing that.
He is, and I think you saw it with the win, and then the second place in Azuma Beach. So I know he's an outsider in here, but the pedigree is there, the talent is there, and I think he could shock the world at a big price.
Well, Doug, we certainly wish you the best. You're going to have a full 2 days. And
also, thank you for all that you're doing for horse racing here in Southern
California. Thank you.
For all of the counter protests and everything. I mean, you've been such a big part of really lifting up racing here in California and all over the country. So
thanks.
Thank
it's
you
a
and
shared,
your team for that.
Shared experience. We're all in it together, and how blessed this is our choice to do it. And we're blessed to work alongside amazing horses. So thank you for saying that. And I'll see you at the Kings game.
Absolutely.
Are you a Kings fan or Vancouver?
I grew up in Southern California.
Okay,
a big
okay.
Kings
oh,
fan.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Never would have thought, you know, growing up in the 70s and 80s, that they'd ever win the Stanley Cup, let alone 2 out of 3 years.
And this year, though, I don't think you got to worry about that.
Well, we need Jonathan Quick to get back to what he was doing 5 years
Jonathan
ago.
Jonathan Slow kind of right now. It'll be a great game.
I'm looking forward to it. Right. Doug, thank you so much. Best of luck Friday and Saturday. Trainer Doug O'Neill here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Red Brand Fence.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Escape to the beautiful island of Barbados, its vibrant culture, exceptional cuisine, and a world of soft adventure. Explore the diversity and tranquility of the island, from horse racing and polo to diving and surfing, from fine dining to historical adventures. Trade the rush for the slow and easy. Come and experience all this island has to offer. Visit jetblue.com/Barbados for special vacation packages. We look forward to welcoming you to the perfect paradise, Barbados.
Racing at Mahoning Valley is off and running with racing 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, plus a special Friday card on November 29th after Thanksgiving. Monday, November 25th is highlighted by the $250,000 Steel Valley Sprint for three-year-olds at six furlongs and the $75,000 Hollywood Gaming Mahoning Valley Distaff. Post time, 12:45 p.m. Learn more at HollywoodMahoningValley.com.
Denali Stud has made their mark selling Saturday afternoon horses. This year, Denali was the leading consigner by average at the prestigious Saratoga sale, with yearlings averaging $728,000, including $2 million horses and the co-sale topper. At Keeneland September, Denali sold 20 of 21 yearlings offered in Book 1 and was the fourth leading consigner overall. With 800 acres and a management team led by two Kentucky Farm Managers of the Year, it's easy to see why Denali Stud is selling Saturday afternoon horses.
This Breeders' Cup season, there are 125 reasons to sign up and bet the World Championships with ExpressBet. 125 cash reasons, that is. Sign up for an ExpressBet account today using promo code HRRN and get a $125 bonus when you bet just $500 within 30 days. That's $125 you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup, key prep races, or anything else that catches your eye. Plus, take advantage of ExpressBet's money-back guarantee on all 14 championship races. Simply bet your horse to win and get your cash back if they finish second or third. It's like finding free money. And for help handicapping the races, ExpressBet's famous free Breeders' Cup wager guide is available beginning Friday, October 25th. It's loaded with expert picks, stats, and trends for every Breeders' Cup race. What are you waiting for? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today. And don't forget to use promo code HRRN to earn your $125 sign-up bonus. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love listening to my friends on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Peace Achieved is still there toward the outside, contesting the lead. Here's Gear Jockey, finds an open lane down next to the rail and moves up to take the lead, but Peace Achieved is still there on the outside. These two going at it past the eighth pole. A late run Vitalogy out on the grandstand side. Gear Jockey, Peace Achieved, Nettleton to the rail. Vitalogy on the outside from fourth to third, but Peace Achieved has the lead. Vitalogy running on. Gear Jockey is there at the line. Peace Achieved hangs on by a diminishing neck for Miguel Mena in the Dixieana Bourbon.
Kurt Becker on the call of the Grade 3 Dixieana Bourbon at Keeneland. We heard Vitalogy finishing a close second, flying down the lane, just missing in the final strides to get up. Vitalogy, he is a colt that really has a lot of stretch kick, and we're pleased to be joined on the Breeders' Cup Countdown now by his trainer, Brendan Walsh. Brendan, welcome to the program.
Morning, guys.
Mm-hmm. It's another beautiful day here in Santa Anita. Unfortunately, we'll get to this quickly, but we were hoping this would be a completely up positive segment with Brendan Walsh. Such a nice man, does such a great job training. Entered two horses for the Breeders' Cup this year, Vitalogy, who's going to run in the juvenile turf, and Maxfield, who would have been one of the favorites in the Breeders' Cup juvenile. Unfortunately, Maxfield had to scratch yesterday. Give us an update on what exactly happened and what is the prognosis for Maxfield?
Right now, our prognosis is that he got a possible abscess in his foot. You know, he wasn't quite right yesterday. So we didn't want to take any chances. You know, these are a funny kind of a thing. Sometimes they'll come out of the foot within a matter of days. Sometimes it takes a bit longer. But he's fine. He's comfortable and all. And he was not. You know, he's like a slightly off on the when we jog him. You watch him walk around there. You'd think there was nothing wrong with him at all. But you know, it's just the timing was bad. But you know, it was always going to be all about next year with this horse. And if you had said to me 2 months ago, where will you stand in 2 months' time, I might have said he might still be a maiden. But you know, he overachieved what we'd expected of him. He's a, you know, he's 2 for 2. He's a Grade One winner. You know, so it wasn't a difficult decision as such. I just don't, you know, I wasn't going to run the horse here unless he was 200% right. You know, so we might have, you got to look at it in a positive way, and we might have dodged a major bullet with the whole thing. And you know, we look forward to next year and get this, whatever issue he has going on, we'll get it sorted out, and we'll have him back on the road hopefully not too long.
I went back to find you at the barn yesterday, and he was napping in a stall. Your assistant, Paul Madden, who I used to gallop with in Kentucky, said that this is a horse that just eats and sleeps all day. He's massive. He looked like a happy horse to
it
me.
It sounds
is that
exactly
what he said
like
barn?
Me. Eats and sleeps all day and is
and
massive.
And very happy.
Very massive.
Yeah, no, that's him, you know. He's very... That's the one thing going for him. He is very easy on himself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he takes everything in his stride. But I could see it in him yesterday. He just wasn't quite acting himself. He was a little bit animated, not quite as laid back as he normally is. So, you know, we'll look into it. But it's far from, you know. I mean, I'm very grateful people are sending me well wishes all the time since yesterday. But, you know, it's far
big
from
fans.
It's far from any kind of... you know, really bad news. There's a lot of worse things happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's the thing. He's only had 2 starts, and he has such a big following already. Is there anything that you and the owners have already talked about? I mean, what is the normal, if there is such a thing as normal, time frame for when a horse recovers from this? How much training would you expect him to miss? And is this something where you're looking at another race somewhere later in this 2-year-old year, or are we just simply looking ahead to the Derby Trail at the beginning of the year?
I mean, our plan, you know, if he had run on Friday, we would have just shut down on him straight away afterwards anyway and give him a chance. There was no way we were going to go into the year and into the year further again. So I think what we'll do is, you know, even if he's as sound as a dollar this time next week, we'll just back up on him a little bit anyway, and then we'll work back from you know, obviously the Derby will be the main target next year, and we'll just work back from there and think about whether we want to try to run him 2 times or 3 times before then. And you know, with all the points thing now and everything, you got to be pretty diligent about the whole thing. But
speaking of the Derby, you saddled your first Kentucky Derby contender this year. I mean, what a year it has been for you, Brendan. You obviously won the UAE Derby with Pousca Parfait out there, and that experience was big for you. You spent a lot of time in Dubai as a work rider, is that correct?
Yeah. No, I did year like 9 years out in Dubai, winters out there, so it was extra special to go back and
certainly
win it out there. And you know, I think it had a big part to play in getting horses from Godolphin this year, being my first year, and obviously one of them was Maxfield, so it's amazing the way things work. But yeah, it was a thrill to win with Plus Q, and then to win the Futurity with Maxfield as well. So yeah, it has been a fantastic year, you know. I mean, God, it's unbelievable the way it's gone. Hopefully we can continue with both horses this year and have a big year with both of them.
Absolutely. Vitalogy, of course, in the juvenile turf, the horse that is running for you still. I personally love this horse. His turn of foot, I thought, was excellent at Keeneland. Talk about that race. Maybe the post had affected you out in the 14 hole. What are you looking for from him, and what happened in that last race?
I think he ran really well, Megan, to be honest. We thought we were dead in the water with the 14 draw. We were like, oh. At one point, we even talked about maybe even scratching.
Really?
Yeah, but
he was actually favored in the race.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
coming into that. It was nobody knew who to play that day. I think he was 9-2 and was the mild favorite in the race. And, and despite that outside draw.
Yeah, and he's overcome plenty doors. He overcome a bad draw. He, you know, he had a long journey to Woodbine 3 weeks before. He had a hard race at Woodbine. He came down to us in Kentucky. You know, it took him a while to get over Woodbine. We were just getting to know him when we ran him in Keeneland. So we were glad this time to get kind of a month. And, you know, he's a neat horse. He's some character
small,
now.
Small, scrappy type, isn't he?
He is.
You know, yesterday.
He is handy, but for a European type 2-year-old, you wouldn't. You
don't
know.
Want him too imposing.
Yeah. You know, he's it's amazing your perspective on the physique of horses when you come to this country. It changes in comparison to the. To the European type of horse, but
very athletic though.
He is, and he's got a fantastic mind, and like I said, he's overcome a lot. He's a character. He's a very likable horse.
He certainly is. How important is that? I mean, we've talked about this again with the juvenile horses that he's had so much travel and traveling internationally as he had, and running at different racetracks, and now traveling all the way across the country to Santa Anita, and how well he's settled in here. How important is that as part of his journey leading up to the Breeders' Cup?
I think it's important, but I also think that it kind of adds a little bit to a horse when they can come in here 6-7 days out. I can see it in him now every day since he's come here. He's doing better and better and better. And
good.
I think by the time Friday comes around, he'll be ready to roll. And I think, you know, he's a hard trying horse. I mean, you know, obviously he's only run once for me, but on his form with Joseph, he's never put a foot wrong either. So, you know, I think we can expect a 110% effort from him.
Absolutely.
No matter what happens.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network. Now on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, Bobby Newman and Megan Devine joined by trainer Brendan Walsh, who's going to send out Vitalogy this Friday in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Vitalogy, not only one of the main contenders, but a great Pearl Jam album from the 90s. Did you know that, Brendan?
I did, actually. Yeah, we were looking it up. A while back, actually, when he came first, but I did have to be told what it was, but
soundtrack of the barn now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Now, Javier Castellano, who rode Vitalogy last time out in the Grade 3 Bourbon, that was the first time he was aboard this 2-year-old. When he comes back after a race like that, is this something where he's excited? He's saying, "Please, I definitely want to ride this horse back in the juvenile turf." How much is he learning from getting to ride this horse from the 14 hole that day going into a race like this Friday?
I think it's great that Javier's back on him. You know, when he got off him that day, he said if he was drawn even 10 that day, he thinks he might have won. You know, you listen, hats off to the winner won at the end of the day. But you know, with Javier, he's a very intelligent rider from the experience I've had with him, and he takes everything in, and he's not one of these guys you have to give a ton. He has a game plan when he comes out there, and you don't have to give him much instruction. And so I'm going to pretty much leave it to him. But it's great to have a rider of his experience and his quality on the horse.
Well, I certainly wish you had another horse in the marathon, because you seem to win it when you come out here in California, but Vitalogy will have to do for now.
Yeah,
we're looking forward to that.
It's a little bit of a change, but no marathon horse this year, I'm afraid, Megan.
Brandon, you're such a great horseman. I mean, you ride so many of them yourself. You come out here with a small team, yourself, Paul, maybe some others, but horses have always been in your blood. How much does it mean to you to be out here and have a contender in a race like this?
Sure, it's fantastic, you know, to... This is what everybody wants, every trainer, every jockey, every owner wants. Yeah, absolutely. So it's great. And it's a great credit to my team as well. You know, they all work hard. And I think this year between Plus Q and Vitalogy, obviously, and Maxfield as well, it's, you know, there's a great buzz in the barn.
Yeah.
And I think that it just helps. It helps other horses. It, you know, it's just a great way
raises
to have
the morale.
And yeah, absolutely. You know, because... when you have enough tough times, so when you're going into something like this and something to look forward to, it really helps. And you know, they do all the work. It's not me. You know, they do it all, and they're great guys, and they all they all work very hard, so it's as much a reflection on them as it is me.
Well, we're certainly wishing for the best for you. A year of ups and downs, you know. We're sorry to hear about the passing of your father earlier this year, but what a year it has been for you professionally, and we are always hoping the best for you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Brendan Walsh, trainer of Vitalogy, who's a kind of a wise guy horse coming up this Friday in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. 10-1 on the morning line. Wouldn't be surprised if he's lower than that. And, of course, the trainer of Maxfield, who we're all excited to see next year on the road to the Kentucky Derby. Brendan, best of luck this Friday and going into next year. Really, really nothing but good thoughts for you and the entire barn. We're really happy with the way things are moving.
Great. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Twin Spires is the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby. Place legal wagers and watch live horse racing on any device. New players download now to start your $100 sign-up bonus. With the Twin Spires app, you can bet the Breeders' Cup.
Oaklawn Racing Casino Resort in Hot Springs, Arkansas begins its legendary thoroughbred racing season Friday, January 24th. Over $600,000 in average daily purses. Maiden special weights start at $85,000 and open allowance races start at $90,000. Plus, four $1 million stakes among a rich 33-race stakes schedule. Stall application deadline is November 7th. Plan now to be a part of Oaklawn's richest season ever. Oaklawn, a new level of racing, a new level of winning.
Is it burning within you? A desire to own racehorses, to head to the winner's circle like you were floating on air? Do it right. Do it with West Point Thoroughbreds. By owning pieces of multiple horses, you increase your chances of winning. West Point partnerships, all the thrills, a fraction of the bills. And the lifestyle? One that only the sport of kings can offer. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships. Go online today at westpointtv.com.
Mark your calendar for the Holiday Racing Festival at Penn National on Wednesday, November 27th. The card features three outstanding stakes races, the $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes, the $100,000 Swatara Stakes, and the $100,000 Blue Mountain Futurity. Plus, there's a special $3,500 holiday cash giveaway. First post is 6 p.m. Eastern, with the stakes included in the early pick four, comprised of races 1-4. Go to hcpn.com for details and rules.
Get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday with a racing feast Wednesday, November 27th, featuring the $1 million Land of Enchantment Day at Zia Park with seven stake races, headlined by the $250,000 Zia Park Derby and the $250,000 Zia Park Oaks. And remember to catch HRRN's special coverage of the Land of Enchantment Day Stakes live at 3 o'clock Eastern, November 27th on Sirius 219 and XM 201. For more information, go to ZiaParkCasino.com.
Smiling Tiger, the number one ranked stallion in California, is represented by two contenders in this year's Breeders' Cup. Multiple Grade 1 winner Spice Perfection and exciting two-year-old El Tigre Terrible. For a limited time, you can breed to California's leading sire for a special discounted rate of just $6,000 if you book your mare by November 3rd. So don't delay. Take advantage of this special offer on nationally ranked Smiling Tiger, Grade 1 winner, Grade 1 sire, standing at Harris Farms. For more information, go to SmilingTigerStallion.com.
Twin Spires is the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby. Place legal wagers and watch live horse racing on any device. New players download now to start your $100 sign-up bonus. With the Twin Spires app, you can bet the Breeders' Cup.
This is Chris Landeros. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And here comes Midnight Bisou, but Heaven Has My Nikki has kicked, and Heaven Has My Nikki is still with a neck in front. Moonlit Garden with an eighth to go. Midnight Bisou's now bearing down on the outside. Heaven Has My Nikki, Moonlit Garden, but here comes Midnight Bisou with a late push, and Midnight Bisou shines brightly in the Houston Ladies Classic. Moonlit Garden a game second, Heaven Has My Nikki, and Remedy finished fourth in 1 minute 44.52 seconds.
Announcer Chris Griffin on the call at Sam Houston Race Park of the Grade 3 Houston Ladies Classic. Early on in 2019, that was Midnight Bisou's first of seven consecutive graded stake wins, and who knows, maybe on her way to a Horse of the Year campaign. We're going to find out a lot more this Saturday. Back here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, I'm Bobby Newman, joined by Megan Devine. And we've got a special guest on tap right now, Bradley Weisbord, the consigner for Elite Sales, founding managing partner of Elite Sales. Bradley, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
We're happy to do it. And Elite Sales has been the leading consigner by average all sales both 2018 and 2019. And you've got several that you were consigning in the upcoming sale at Phase of Tipton on November 5th. Comical, Mia Mischief, Pacific Wind, Secret Spice, Separation of Powers, Wildcat, and this Belle of the Ball, Midnight Bisou. This is a busy week for you.
Yeah, very busy. We're very excited. We actually led in 17 and 18. Hopefully we'll lead in 19. We'll find out next week. But five horses here running in the Breeders' Cup are planned to be headed to the sale, headed by Midnight Bisou. So we're excited about her. And then obviously we have Comical in the two-year-old juvenile filly race. So that's going to be very interesting to see how she can do. She just missed to Bass last time. And then Wildcat and Secret Spice follow up in the Distaff, and Spice Perfection in the filly mare sprint. So it's a great week. It's a great tie-in between the Breeders' Cup, a championship event, and then obviously the November sales, both at Phase of Tipton and Keeneland, and we're excited.
Elite Sales new. I mean, you founded that with Liz Crow, who's a University of Louisville equine graduate, of course.
And yeah, you're Cardinals.
I had to throw it in.
I love Liz. But what is it about your organization, Bradley, that you do differently that has set you apart from the rest of the consigners out there? You've had so much success.
Yeah, we had this concept in the beginning of 2017. We started to amass a large amount of racehorses that needed to be sold on either during their racing careers or at the end of their racing careers, whether it be fillies. And we decided that we knew our product best. I also thought that a lot of the other consigners didn't provide the information that is needed to sell racehorses, speed figures, future race schedules, how horses fit into certain divisions. And managing hundreds of horses, we really knew that best. So it's been an easy transition. It's been a fun transition, both for ourselves and I think our clients. Our clients have been rewarded. And what's best is when these horses that we sell on go on to do great things, like next year's winning a grade one, Long on Value winning a grade one. I mean, our statistics of what the horses do after we sell them is tremendous, and that makes the whole thing go round.
So getting back to Midnight Bisou, who obviously is the marquee of what you have coming up at the sale November the 5th, how does this all start? Where are you going to Jeff Bloom, the major owner of Midnight Bisou, and recruiting him? Is he coming to you? How do you find each other? And then once you do find each other, what is Elite Sales doing when they're consigning Midnight Bisou?
Very much like college athletics, the two sales business, two-part approach. First, you have recruiting. So the best college coaches would recruit the best athletes. That's what we're doing 12 months a year. So we're going to the owners and trainers of the best horses in the country, and trying to partner with these guys on the horse, in which case Matticat did with Jeff Bloom after the Kentucky Oaks. And if not, try and explain to them how we can sell their horse best. And now we have a really nice mojo going, and Jeff, we partnered with him on a couple horses, and Jeff's a very professional owner. Obviously, he was a jockey, and then he worked for West Point, and now he's got a very, very active and well-run professional syndicate. So he's a professional owner, and he got it very right away. And look, it's been a lucky ride for both of us. We teamed up after the Kentucky Oaks. She went on to win the Cotillion and Breeders' Cup third last year, and 7-for-7 this year. So it's an exciting part, and without Jeff and other like-minded owners like himself, Elite Sales would not exist.
You do so much racing management. You talked about Matticat Stables a little bit, Sol Cumin, Gary Barber, Peter Brand. I mean, Al Shakab Racing, you can go on and on and on. The racing management part about that, about what you do, talk about how you got started in that and just the process day to day, I guess, really.
Yeah, I got to give Ahmed Zayed Stables a lot of credit. I graduated University of Wisconsin and started working for him right away. He's one of the leading owners in the country. Then went to work for Barry Irwin's Team Valor International right after Animal Kingdom had won the Derby. So that was a really fun ride, 2.5 years, to see the growth of his company. In 2014, I was probably young enough, dumb enough to decide I can do it on my own. And Liz joined me about a year later in 2015. She was a great addition to our team as a partner because she's really tackled these unproven horses, yearlings, weanlings, two-year-olds. I mean, just look at last year with Monomoy Girl, $100,000 purchase. This year, British Idiom, who's very live in the juvenile fillies, $40,000 purchase that Liz found, the only flashback to win a stake. So she was a great addition to our team, and now the whole deal's rolling. I got to also credit our support staff and Caitlin Jackson and Jake Memelo. They allow us to manage all these horses, hundreds of horses every day, and try to win some of these best races like the Breeders' Cup.
Speaking with Bradley Weisbord, founder and managing partner of Elite Sales. So we've got the big Breeders' Cup races both Friday and Saturday. You've got several that you're consigned that are in those races that are going to be sold on November the 5th. So let's get down to it. How important is this weekend money-wise for what we're going to see on November 5th, and especially with somebody like Midnight Bisou, who, if everything fell correctly, has a chance at being Horse of the Year?
Yeah, no, listen, if she went 8-for-8 and something happened to Bricks and Mortar and he didn't win or Sister Charlie didn't win, I think she will be Horse of the Year. But Bricks and Mortar's had a tremendous year. Mm-hmm. He's won a bunch of grade ones in a row. So we'll leave that up to the voters. I don't have a vote in that. It's exciting to sell Midnight Bisou and to see her here this week because we really haven't seen a horse in the prime of her career go to auction since Royal Delta. Obviously, you had Songbird and Teppan, but those horses were done when they were sold. So Royal Delta, as a three-year-old champion, was the last horse that we saw go to public auction with the talents, credentials, resume, and residual that Midnight Bisou has. And if you look at a race like the Saudi Cup, $20 million at a mile and eighth next year, or the Dubai World Cup, or the Pegasus, I say that she's got $30 million opportunities out there for the next buyer. So hopefully she can cap her season with a Breeders' Cup Distaff win. That will be really exciting for her to head to Phasic Tipton 8-for-8, and we're excited to have her.
So much excitement. You guys do a great job of finding those horses. I think as a bloodstock agent, you know, you're promising something. As managing some of these racing partnerships, you're promising something. But you guys deliver, and your team has been so good about bringing excitement to all of your partners with Soul Cumin. You bring new people into the game. I mean, you're the youngest member of the Breeders' Cup board. Innovation is something that I would definitely tag along to Bradley Weisbord.
Yeah, and the best part for what I do now is to see the success and see the smile of our partners that our clients have. I mean, we've won 100 grade ones in the last 5 or 6 years. So I don't want to say it's getting old, but I love seeing new guys have success. I love trying to keep them in the game. The game is so difficult. It's so difficult financially. It's so difficult to find good horses. So to cap it off and see these home runs that we've had with a Monomoyt girl, Midnight Bisou, a Catholic boy, just in the last couple of years, even 8 rings this year. Sal and a couple of other my clients are partners in him, and there was just announced that a stud deal was done with Coolmore. So to see him go 2-for-3, he trucked his jockey at Del Mar. But to have a home run in the first year of that venture is so exciting, and we're just so lucky to be in this sport.
I love every aspect of it.
I think that was the technical term for the equibate that they put in the form, chucked the jockey.
that was a nightmare. But I went out to dinner with Tom Ryan, the managing partner, after that. I said it's going to be the start of his story. And he came back and won the American Pharaoh, and I think he's 2-to-1 for the juvenile. So that's another horse we're really excited about.
Cool.
So what is your responsibility now after this weekend as a consigner between November 2nd and the sale on November 5th with these runners?
Yeah, I'm really, really happy that both Phasic and Keeneland worked together to finally push back the sale. They made it really hard on us the last couple of years, starting the sale on Monday night, but they got together, both pushed back their sales one day. So now Phasic starts Tuesday, Keeneland starts Wednesday, so I'll finally be able to enjoy the Breeders' Cup. The last couple of years, I've been leaving on Friday to go back because our horses shipped in on Saturday. So now that I'm able to leave Saturday night on the red eye, get back Sunday morning, all of our horses will ship in Sunday morning to Phasic, and hopefully a couple of these Breeders' Cup horses will join us later in the day Sunday. They'll leave Sunday morning and get to Kentucky Sunday afternoon and start showing them. We've been preparing all year. This is not just work 3 days and make some money. This is a 12-month process to recruit the horses and then to work in terms of selling the horses to the biggest owners in the world. We're at every major race meet, from Royal Ascot to Saratoga to Del Mar. Our staff is there explaining what we have at auction this year, and hopefully that will all come to fruition on November 5th.
Awesome. You guys are so busy. So exciting. Got to keep up those riding lessons, too.
I know. I got to take some from you. My riding's dropped a little bit, but I'll be back.
I love it. I love it. Bradley Weisbord.
Bradley, certainly wish you guys the best of luck. You obviously have a lot of different rooting interest in the next few days here at Santa Anita and the Breeders' Cup. You and your team obviously do a great job. Bradley Weisbord, founder and managing partner of Elite Sales. They are going to be very, very busy at Phasic Tipton come Tuesday of next week. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Athena Springs Stallion, Ghost Zapper, the consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One and a head and I thrill it!
Santa Anita Handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney Handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
In 2019, Ghost Zapper is the sire of double-digit stakes winners for the seventh straight year, and his current stars include Del Mar Futurity winner Nucky and three-year-old Philly sensation Guarana.
On to another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the coaching club American Oaks Over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant, Ghost Zapper, standing at Adena Springs. Visit adenastallions.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Curlin, the leading yearling sire by average. The sire of a $4.1 million sales-topping colt in September, a $1.5 million Saratoga sales-topper, and a $3.65 million Gulfstream sales-topper. In 2019, Curlin is the sire of 10 greatest stakes winners with progeny earnings of more than $10 million. The number one sire of million-dollar sale yearlings. Curlin, standing at Hillendale.
Get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday with the Racing Feast, Wednesday, November 27th, featuring the $1 million Land of Enchantment Day at Zia Park with 7 stakes races, headlined by the $250,000 Zia Park Derby and the $250,000 Zia Park Oaks. Free nominations for all the Land of Enchantment Day stakes close November 15th. For more information, call 575-492-7086 or go to ziaparkcasino.com.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
Sweet Melania against the rail, leading it by a length to the far turn now. Fujaira is second by a neck. Jezebel's Kitten is third toward the inside. Midway on the far turn. And then Take It Back, who's fourth. Swanage has to go wide in fifth. Envy to sixth between horses. Morning Gold is shuffled to seventh. Diamond Sparkles is eighth. Indochine is ninth and buried in traffic down toward the inside. And Sweet Melania opens up by three at the eighth pole. Jezebel's Kitten in second position. Fujaira third, Ask Bailey running late on the far outside with Vitesh, but Sweet Melania has opened up an eight-length lead. Vitesh to second, Ask Bailey is third. Sweet Melania, Jose Ortiz to win the J.P. Morgan Chase Jessamine in convincing style.
Kurt Becker on the call of the Grade 2 Jessamine at Keeneland. Sweet Melania victorious that day. And speaking of Kurt Becker, be sure to join our HRRN team for exclusive radio coverage of every Breeders' Cup race Friday and Saturday afternoon. We'll be live from Santa Anita beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. Both broadcasts can be heard nationwide on Sirius 219, XM 201, along with terrestrial affiliates across the country. If you can't make it to a radio, you can stream the broadcast live on your computer, phone, or mobile device at horseracingradio.net. Join us Friday from 4 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Saturday from 3 to 9 p.m. Eastern for exclusive radio coverage of every Breeders' Cup race. The Breeders' Cup runs on HRRN. Sweet Melania, impressive in victory in the Grade 2 Jessamine last time at Keeneland. And Sweet Melania is one of the ones who is going to be up for sale after she runs in the Breeders' Cup this Friday. She is in the November sale, select breeding stock, November 5th at Fasig Tipton. A lot of these Breeders' Cup entrants are up for sale on that day, and it's really unique seeing such big names that, you know, they're at the top of their game right now, and they either have bright futures ahead of them or they've accomplished so much that now you're going to see them up for auction just 2 or 3 days later.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's exciting for a horse of any age. Certainly, we talked about a horse like Midnight Bisou, who still has some potential to move forward. If they choose to continue to race her, there are certainly opportunities available. Or, of course, as a broodmare, she would be hopefully very good at that as well. But with these two-year-old horses, too, like Sweet Melania and some of the others that are consigned in the November sale, I mean, this is a horse that's just hit her best stride in her last three races. She's finished either first or second when routing. She's obviously running this weekend. She has a lot of upside. She was a $600,000 purchase originally, too, so you know she's got some bloodlines behind her. But a horse like that, who's got, I think, a really solid shot to do well in a race like this, it only adds to her value in the Juvenile Fillies Turf. So we're looking forward to seeing her and the rest of the horses that are going to be running on Friday and Saturday.
We touched on it briefly with our previous guest, Bradley Weisbord of Elite Sales. I want your opinion on this, though. If one of these horses or fillies or mares would end up winning their Breeders' Cup race, how much do you think that adds to the value or adds to the sale price of what we're going to see? And let's take Sweet Melania, for instance. It's a two-year-old filly. She's lightly raced. If she wins the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf on Friday, she goes into the sale. By how many hundreds of thousands, if not more, does that increase her value?
I was going to say, is it safe to say millions? I mean, certainly for a horse like Midnight Bisou would be millions, possibly for Sweet Melania, you know, maybe a couple of hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, we are talking about potential Eclipse Awards at the end of the year. You know, you're talking about these horses. Yes, they win on the first weekend in November, but they also potentially win as we get into 2020 and we do our end of the year awards. So the value is only increased with all of the efforts that these horses put out there, and certainly the championships if they are able to win them. So I think it's a really big deal for these horses for them to be out here and to be even competing in these races. Even the horses that are going to be placed, you know, second and third in these big races, that adds to their value too. So it is very important on those race days.
And it's interesting because there's such a dynamic differentiation of ages that are for sale. There are several of these two-year-olds that are going to be in the sale, and then you get somebody like Vasilika, who's maybe near the end of her racing career. Not that she's lost a step or anything.
No.
She doesn't have to be at the end of her racing career. But who may, you know, some of them we may see racing for the next few years. Some of them may be purchased just to be a brood mare or maybe to be a stud. Maybe they'll shuttle to another country. There's so much being offered at this Fasig Tipton sale. And I mean, how about somebody like Elate? Now, Elate is somebody that, I mean, we're guilty of it. We haven't spoken that much about her simply because she hasn't been able to beat Midnight Bisou thus far. I don't know if she's avoiding Midnight Bisou or she just thinks maybe the connections just think they actually have a real shot at beating the boys in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
I think they do. I mean, I listened to an interview with Bill Mott, and he had said, we were thinking about the Classic last year. So this has been something, and it's even more so about the distance. They really do think that she's better at a mile and a quarter. So, you know, she is absolutely a horse. I think Midnight Bisou's good enough to beat the boys. So if you're along those lines of thinking and you think Midnight Bisou can beat the boys, well, you know, Elate was right there with Midnight Bisou. So it's very possible that she too could do that. I mean, when you talk about these horses, yes, you have the three-year-olds that are facing the older horses as well. And that certainly makes things difficult. And it's not to discredit at all the male division of the older horses. But these are two very, very talented fillies with Midnight Bisou and Elate. I think they are just as good, maybe even better than some of the older handicapped male horses.
And speaking of Elate, she's a multiple graded stakes winner. She's 5 years old right now. So it could be the last race of her career, obviously, whatever the new owners would decide to do. But speaking of her specifically, if she were to win the Breeders' Cup Classic and beat the boys, I would just think her value would skyrocket.
Absolutely.
This is an aspect of the game that I'm guilty of not knowing as much about as I'd like. I don't have the capability of you mentioning a horse and me knowing what he or she is worth just like that. It's just not my specialty. I'm amazed at these ladies and gentlemen like Bradley Weisbord, who can probably at a drop of a hat know within a, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 range what the horses are worth.
But it also comes down to that day too, because you can suspect what these horses will go for based on breeding, based on performance, and all of that. You have to understand your market, and on the day too, it's very possible that there could be a bidding war for a particular horse. So you also have to know your clientele, who's potentially out there. And believe me, they do a lot of that work beforehand, trying to sell these horses, if you will, or get people interested way before the actual night of the stars.
It's going to be very, very exciting, and sales that can drag on and on and on. Sometime get a little bit tedious. This is a sale.
No, this is not one that will.
This is a sale that's going to be fun to watch, whether you're a casual racing fan or you're a serious horseman or an owner.
Absolutely.
Something like that. And that, once again, that's the Phasic Tipton November sale of select breeding stock. It is November 5th out in Kentucky. And a lot of what happens this Friday and Saturday is going to have a bearing on what we see in that sale. Okay. We're going to take another quick break. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Racing at Gulfstream.
Come out to Gulfstream Park on Friday, November 29th for the kickoff of the championship meet. Enjoy the heart-pounding excitement of live thoroughbred horse racing, showcasing some of the best jockeys and horses in the world. Be one of the first to experience the all-new outdoor dining terraces or have brunch while viewing the racing at 10 Palms. Make sure to come early to get your free 2020 Gulfstream Park wall calendar while supplies last. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for details and a full schedule.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Manad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and Historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban by 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
Elite Sales is the number one consigner of horses of racing age and broodmare prospects. Their consignment at the Phasic Tipton Night of Stars sale includes 5 individual Grade 1 winners, 5-time Grade 1 winner Midnight Bisou, Separation of Powers, Mia Mischief, Secret Spice, and Wildcat. At Keeneland November, Elite Sales is offering 2-time Grade 1 winner Spice Perfection, Grade 3 winner and Grade 1 placed Elysia's World, and Grade 2 winner Grade 1 placed Rimska in Book 1. Learn more at EliteRaceSales.com.
Do you watch races like the Kentucky Derby and wonder what it would be like to be in with a chance? With a live runner on horse racing's biggest stages, West Point Thoroughbreds can get you there. You can play in a big way right away. We've been doing it for 28 years. The Derby? Been there. Won that. Go online at westpointtb.com. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships.
Deep in the heart of horse country, from these Kentucky hills has sprung a legacy rivaled by few. From the all-time greats of yesterday to the breed-shaping bloodlines of today, our roots hold strong with the promise of tomorrow. For over a century, our passion has guided us to where we stand and everything we stand for. Claiborne Farm, the tradition continues.
One book, one session, one spectacular evening. On November 5th, the stars will align at Phasic Tipton, featuring a catalog of top race fillies, world-class broodmares, and selected weanlings. A night of stars with over 60 graded stakes winners or producers and no less than 24 Grade 1 winners, champions, or producers. No sale offers a higher concentration of quality anywhere in the world. The world's premier breeding stock event, the November sale, November 5th in Lexington, Kentucky. Where will you be?
This is jockey Julian Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
On the far outside, Seeking the Soul is getting a piece of things, and Draft Pick is down at the rail. McKenzie right up to Mongolian Groom at the top of the stretch. Mongolian Groom digging in very gamely. McKenzie is a half length behind him, and Mongolian Groom kicks on smartly inside the final eighth of a mile. McKenzie is all out. but today belongs to Mongolian Groom. It's Mongolian Groom, wire to wire in the awesome again under Abel Sadil. McKenzie settles for second. Higher Power third, Seeking the Soul with fourth.
An emphatic call by track announcer Frank Miramati in the Grade 1 Awesome Again here at Santa Anita Park. Mongolian Groom, a huge upset that day. He was 25-1. He beat McKenzie, who was 1-5 that afternoon. And Megan, I did not like Mongolian Groom into that race.
I did not have that horse either. But I will tell you, from being out here at Santa Anita, I mean, Nebekanbash has had quite a he's had quite a few very good horses, the Mongolian horses, and I tell you what, they jump up for a price. I mean, leave them out of your superfecta at your own peril. It seems like every time there's a horse in the race, they at least jump up for a piece of it. So he does an excellent job with training his horses. And Mongolian Groom, who, you know, if you actually go back and you look, with Abel Sadio aboard, at least he finished third, second, and first in those past three races. So he's been knocking at the door too against some of the best horses we have out here in California.
We are efforting to get jockey Abel Sadio on set with us, but he's a busy man right now. This is a this is a jockey who's been kind of thrust into semi-spotlight here in Southern California. Not only is he winning a lot of races here at Santa Anita, but he's got four Breeders' Cup mounts, and he actually has big shots. He's somewhere here. Hopefully he's getting us donuts and coffee since we don't see him right
getting
now.
Getting us donuts and coffee,
yeah,
not him.
Yeah, well, hey, this is all about me. I don't know.
That's true.
But we're looking for Abel Sadio, who's going to be riding four horses in the Breeders' Cup. He's got War Beast in the Juvenile Turf, Comical in the Juvenile Fillies, both for trainer Doug O'Neill, who we got to speak with earlier. Doug O'Neill has been a big proponent and supporter of Abel Sadio since his move here to Southern California. And then on Saturday, he's got some big names. He's going to ride Paradise Woods in the Distaff and Mongolian Groom in the Classic. And I don't think Mongolian Groom is going to be 25-1 on Saturday.
I don't think so. I mean, this is a horse who's been he's been right there, you know, and he looks great, too. He's a horse that I think is conditioned nicely over the track. Saw him go by just a little while ago, so he is maybe a potential horse. Got the buzzer going off in the background. I just wanted to let our listeners know if you can hear that. There is just a loose horse on the training track. So the outrider, actually Cindy Ellett right there, is going to go ahead and grab him. And this horse is just kind of cantering about. The rider came off at some point. We always hope that the rider is okay, certainly. But the horse looks like he's just playing about. Now he's going to play a little game of tag. But they did just apprehend him. So they grabbed him by the reins, and they've got him. Horse is just fine. And hopefully the rider is as well. But the buzzer is, you know, not always so bad. Sometimes these horses, they're youngsters, they're animals, they just like to play up a little bit, and that's what the case was right in front of us there.
Bobby Newman and Megan Devine live at Clocker's Corner at Santa Anita Park on the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN 2019. We are just 2 days away from Future Stars Friday, 3 days away from Breeders' Cup Saturday, and trying to find Abel Sadio.
He's coming up.
He's become
he's
become a very popular guy with this semi-stardom, and who knows, maybe he'll have even more stardom. He's still wearing his helmet.
Busy guy.
And speaking of horses on the track, we just saw Imperial Hint go by, and he's definitely one of the favorites in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Boy, he's a little bitty thing.
He is
not an imposing runner out there.
They call him the Little Rocket, and you know, he's of smaller stature, but his stride frequency, I mean, he is certainly quick as he can get over the racetrack, and we've seen that time and time again. So Imperial Hint, the Little Rocket, we're looking forward to seeing him. It's the first time I've seen him in person, and I'll tell you what, he may be small, but he's certainly well-muscled.
Well, we're pleased to be joined now by jockey Abel Sadio, who's become a very popular face around Santa Anita these days. Abel, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's amazing to see. We had Doug O'Neill on the show just a little earlier. He's given you so many chances out there. Your agent Tom has done a great job as well. But this is your first Breeders' Cup. How do you feel?
I feel amazing.
I mean, it's you just started you won your first race in 2010. You won your first graded stakes in 2014. Now we look into 2019 and all the success you had, your first grade one victory in the Awesome Again. What has it been like for you this summer?
Wow, it's been amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Would you have ever expected that you'd be here?
No.
How did you decide to come to Southern California? You were riding up in Northern California for a few years, and what made you finally decide to come down here to the quote-unquote big circuit?
Well, Tom, my agent now, he called me, and well, he called Jonathan Wong. That guy helped me a lot too. He put me all, give me all the calls.
An excellent trainer North, up there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he is a really friend with Doug O'Neill, and they both talk about me. So, and they call me if I decide to come down south.
We're glad you did.
a lot of the fans are glad you did too. You're winning a lot of races here in Southern California, and you're starting to win with a lot of really good horses in big races. And let's talk about Mongolian Groom to begin with, who's was an upset winner last time out in the Grade One Awesome. Again, he's going to be running in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Tell us about that ride in the Awesome again and how he's doing coming into the Classic.
He's doing really great. I think after that race he won, he'll be tough.
You had ridden him before, though. You finished third, you finished second, then you finished first. Was that first place finish in the Awesome again a surprise to you? Because you had been on him before and known this horse a little bit.
Yeah, it's a surprise because and that it was a lot of speed. Mm-hmm. I thought the favorite Mackenzie's going to go to the lead. But when I see him, he don't try to go. So, mm-hmm. And I take the lead easy, so I was like, oh, well. I'll take it.
You might as well, yeah. You also have a couple of other horses, the Breeders' Cup, Comical in the Juvenile Fillies, War Beast, the Juvenile Turf, and, of course, Paradise Woods in the Distaff. Now, Paradise Woods, you picked up this horse last time. That was your first time aboard her. She's been described before as anxious, maybe moody, takes a while to get over things. What did you feel from her riding her for the first time?
Well, it was amazing to ride her. She's a different horse to ride.
How so?
Like, well, she was relaxed pretty good with me, because mm-hmm. I've been watching her races before. She just started run off, but I got her pretty relaxed last time.
Yeah, she certainly seemed to do so. Are you worried at all? She's 0-3 when she draws the rail. You guys are on the rail on Saturday. How does that approach you? How does that affect your strategy?
I'm just gonna try to make him break good and. We'll see after that.
Fingers crossed.
Right, yeah.
Is this a filly where does John Sheriffs give you instructions before the race, or are you just reading the past performances and looking at where the other fillies and mares are supposed to be and where you think you're supposed to be in the race?
Well, Mike Smith, he was riding her, and he told me just don't put her behind horses and mm-hmm. don't get dirt on the face. She didn't like it. So I tried to do that.
Just trying to please the lady.
now, is that normal? Is it normal for other riders to help riders in the situations, or not always?
No. Well, it depends.
Like, Mike is a classic guy.
Yeah. And
wait a minute. Does that mean that the other ones are not classy
no.
guys?
No. No, he's just.
Well, he just tried to help me, mm-hmm. Mike. Yeah, he's been really good. He's in my... I'm on his corner, so mm-hmm. he's been a great guy.
Great mentor to have, certainly. You are on War Beast in the Juvenile Turf, and from a handicapper's standpoint, you rode this horse for the last two races, and after the first race you rode him, they added blinkers. Was that your call as well? Did you ask them to do that?
Yeah. I told Doug was assistant. Mm-hmm. I told him the first time I ride him, Delmar, she was like going everywhere, mm-hmm. and I thought, try put blinkers next time. Mm-hmm. And when they put blinkers, she changed.
Yeah,
it was a very interesting race. When they put the blinkers on, he broke well and went to the lead, but then you dropped back about 3 or 4 lengths off the pace and came back on again and ended up winning by a nose. It's not something that's normal for a 2-year-old. Was it something that... Were you trying to rate the horse? Because he looks like he's got natural speed, especially with the blinkers
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Well, in that race, there was like a couple of horses in front of me, so I was like, I'm not going with them. Mm-hmm. And then I was just stay close with him.
You it just seems like, you know, you talk about Mike Smith being a mentor for you, and Mike Smith is known for getting along with horses very well. He's got very good hands, and it seems like you have that too. I mean, we saw that even with a horse like Comical. You picked this one up, and you were able to finish second by a neck to a very, very good horse.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like your communication and your rideability on these horses, your skills, just gets them to relax and perform in a way that they have not before.
Yeah, I just try to don't fight with the horse. Like, I just let them do.
And that was the case for her?
Yeah.
For Comical?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a nice filly, too.
They're all nice.
how much help has it been with having Tom Canoost as your agent? Everyone likes him here. He's been around Southern California racing for many, many years, and he knows everybody down here. How well do you guys work together, and how much of a help has he been for you?
Well, he's been doing a great job, and a lot of trainers like him a lot. And the good thing, he likes me to put me on workers, and I tell him, you can put me any works you want. I work all morning.
I'm sure he loves to hear that you're eagle. Abel Cedillo, thank you so much for joining us. Abel's riding four Breeders' Cup mounts. He's got two on Friday. He's got two real big ones on Saturday in Paradise Woods and Mongolian Groom. Abel, best of luck in the Breeders' Cup, and best of luck continuing here in Southern California.
Thank you.
Really enjoy it.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Escape to the beautiful island of Barbados, its vibrant culture, exceptional cuisine, and a world of soft adventure. Explore the diversity and tranquility of the island, from horse racing and polo to diving and surfing, from fine dining to historical adventures. Trade the rush for the slow and easy. Come and experience all this island has to offer. Visit jetblue.com/Barbados for special vacation packages. We look forward to welcoming you to the perfect paradise, Barbados.
Racing at Mahoning Valley is off and running with racing 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, plus a special Friday card on November 29th after Thanksgiving. Monday, November 25th is highlighted by the $250,000 Steel Valley Sprint for three-year-olds at six furlongs and the $75,000 Hollywood Gaming Mahoning Valley Distaff. Post time 12:45 p.m. Learn more at HollywoodMahoningValley.com.
Denali Stud has made their mark selling Saturday afternoon horses. This year, Denali was the leading consigner by average at the prestigious Saratoga sale, with yearlings averaging $728,000, including $2 million horses and the co-sale topper. At Keeneland September, Denali sold 20 of 21 yearlings offered in Book 1 and was the fourth leading consigner overall. With 800 acres and a management team led by two Kentucky Farm Managers of the Year, it's easy to see why Denali Stud is selling Saturday afternoon horses.
This Breeders' Cup season, there are 125 reasons to sign up and bet the World Championships with ExpressBet. 125 cash reasons, that is. Sign up for an ExpressBet account today using promo code HRRN and get a $125 bonus when you bet just $500 within 30 days. That's $125 you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup, key prep races, or anything else that catches your eye. Plus, take advantage of ExpressBet's money-back guarantee on all 14 championship races. Simply bet your horse to win and get your cash back if they finish second or third. It's like finding free money. And for help handicapping the races, ExpressBet's famous free Breeders' Cup wager guide is available beginning Friday, October 25th. It's loaded with expert picks, stats, and trends for every Breeders' Cup race. What are you waiting for? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today. And don't forget to use promo code HRRN to earn your $125 sign-up bonus. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Warriors Charge off the turn in front.
Another twist of fate. Here's War of Wills, and he got through an opening on the inside of the gatepole. Owendale is storming down the center of the track, but it's War of Wills coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by 2 lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Everfast on the inside too, but nothing stood in his way. War of Wills won the Preakness. And then it was Everfast in a photo with Owendale, followed by Warrior's Charge, and a final time of 1 minute 54.15 seconds. Today was the day for War of Will.
Well, a lot of racing fans thought War of Will may have been best in the Kentucky Derby, but as you heard from track announcer Larry Colmus, he was 100% the best in the Preakness Stakes. War of Will, conditioned by trainer Mark Cassie, and Mark joining us this morning here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown. Mark, welcome.
Thanks. I always enjoy listening to that call.
I'm sure you do.
Mark, you're going to be a busy man this Friday and Saturday here, and you've had success in the past in Breeders' Cups, already 5 Breeders' Cup wins on the docket with purses of over $6.7 million.
All in the last 4 years, too.
Yeah.
And hopefully that money is still flying around somewhere.
Goes right back into the horses.
I'll tell you where it went. It went right into our training center in Ocala.
There are worse places for it to go.
No, I am. I'm proud of it. And so it's been good.
You've got 4 entrants on Future Stars Friday and 2 on Saturday. Interestingly enough, your 4 entrants are only in 2 races. You've got both Peace Achieved and Proven Strategies set to go in the Juvenile Turf Friday, 260 and Perfect Alibi in the Juvenile Fillies. And then on Saturday, Got Stormy, going to face the boys again in the Breeders' Cup Mile, and War of Will going in the marquee event, the Breeders' Cup Classic. Nothing new for your barn. You seem to have horses all different parts of this continent. And you obviously have a fabulous team, but special on days like this coming up.
Well, you know what? Every year, it's kind of like Christmas. So as soon as one Breeders' Cup's over, we're aiming for the next one. And it's always our goal. And to say that, you know, we have 6 here, and you know, with legitimate chances. And just being, you know, this is the Olympics. This is what we this is what we strive for. So, yes, I'm extremely proud of our horses and our team.
You've had such an amazing year. You won this year's Preakness with War of Will. Then you came back and won the Belmont with Sir Winston. I mean, this has been a banner year for you and your entire team. What has it felt like around the barns leading up to another big weekend?
Well,
you feel more
know,
confidence, more pep in your step?
I don't think so. I always, if you know me very well, I have pep in my step all the time.
I believe it.
No, I don't think so. Those things that you spoke about are nice, you know. Mm-hmm. Winning the Preakness, winning the Belmont. Sometimes I forget about that, and I have to think back.
We'll remind you.
Yeah, but you know what? We're focusing on the
absolutely
on the Breeders' Cup. So
War of Will has been out on the track. I mean, he just looks an unbelievable physical specimen.
You know what? He's just wonderful in every way. He's got a great mind. He's a beautiful horse.
Yeah.
Big pedigree. You know, his races this year, there's been some disappointments, and then of course there's been some highs.
Mm-hmm.
We felt like we had him at tip top shape for the Kentucky Derby, and unfortunately, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
And then for him to come back and to be able to win the Preakness was very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. You're going to add blinkers to him for the first time. Why that decision?
Well, you know what? He just seems to not focus. Mm-hmm. like he was. I should say like he was. He's done that before. I thought his non-focus probably cost him winning the Bourbon at Keeneland last year. And he kind of looks like that he'll move up and he's going to pounce sometimes. And then, you know, he starts wondering. You'll see if you watch, his ears will go up sometimes. And and my concern was I don't want him to be speed crazy, but we put him on him, and in fact he relaxes a little bit more with him on, and but he does train well with him. So look, he's got to run the race of his life.
That's right.
And we're trying to tweak every little way we can.
Gary Barber owns both War of Will and Got Stormy, so I'm sure that he's getting a little antsy for the Breeders' Cup coming up. Got Stormy has had a brilliant 2019. She's been a model of consistency. Six starts this year, three wins, two seconds, and a third. Last time out, a huge effort in defeat facing the boys in the Woodmine Mile. She's going to be one of the favorites in the Breeders' Cup Mile this Saturday. How's she doing coming into this race, and what's she been doing since we last saw her?
You know, I thought her race in the Woodbine Mile was super. I knew going in that it was a tall task for her. Her strong suit is the ability to maneuver. She likes sharper turns. She's going to love the sharper turns here at Santa Anita. She's going to like the harder turf course. And those are two things she didn't get at Woodbine. But it was I had to make a decision, and that was, do we go to Woodbine and know that it's going to be tall, it's going to be a tough task, or do we wait and run in the First Lady? My concern was a lot of times at Keeneland in the fall, it'll rain a lot. Mm-hmm. And if it was soft, I wouldn't want to run her. And then I would have been without
right.
two race, you know, with any race. So I opted to go to the Woodbine Mile. It's been good to us. We won with world approval and Teppan off of it. Mm-hmm. So we tried it, and I was proud of her. And I told Gary right after the race, okay, she's ready. They have to beat her.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting. The turf course was labeled good for the Woodbine Mile, but the final time for the mile was 1:32.3. Now, obviously, that's a one-turn mile, not a two-turn mile. You don't usually see a turf course rated good, and they run that quickly. But you're saying there was some give to the ground.
Well, it's interesting. Before the race, I took Tyler out, and I said, look, Tyler, look where these horses have been running. Mm-hmm. This is where you need to try to be.
Mm-hmm.
And because Woodbine does something that I've been after him for, and I hate to get after them, but they like to leave. They put the rail out, similar now, where it's about three or four pass out, and they don't run on it for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take it down, if you can get down to the rail,
mm-hmm.
it's a big advantage. After the race, I took Tyler, and I showed him the footprints of the winner, and he barely penetrated the ground.
Right.
And where we were at, we were taking 3-inch divots out.
Yeah.
And I said, do you see what I'm talking?
That's
you
the
know,
difference.
And we talked about it. He just said, I tried to get there. I tried to get there, because we had had that conversation. So they ran fast, but there was definitely some cut in the ground. Maybe not on the rail, but there was cut on the ground. Yeah.
I mean, she has just been so unbelievable, really, throughout her entire career. But I think it's interesting in a race like that. Obviously, you have a mix of female-male horses. A lot of times here in the U.S., we don't see that as much. But for you, as a trainer, you've certainly had some success with it between her and between Teppan. What is it about horses like that, those female horses, that gives you the confidence to run them against their male counterparts?
Well, I think when you look at the numbers, you look at the competition, and you say, hey, you know what? They deserve a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never, you know us, we don't back down very often.
Definitely.
I mean, the problem is the old saying, if you're afraid to step off first, you can't steal second.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we get thrown out many times, but we also steal a lot of bases. So, yeah, I don't back down from challenges.
You put Tyler Gaffalione on a board who's a relatively, you know, young up-and-coming rider. I feel like he's been around for a while, but you won the Preakness with him this year. He gets the ride on Got Stormy. For him as a rider, what is it about him and his talents, his mind, maybe that's really attracted you to him to give him the chances that you have?
Well, I just think he's a really good rider. He's got a great attitude, strong rider,
yeah.
Very strong finisher. And he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I keep saying that he's an up and coming star, but that's not right, because he is a star.
He's here.
He is a star. And he loves Got Stormy. He loves War Will too, but he loves Got Stormy.
Yeah.
In weather like this, do you need to walk the turf course before Friday and Saturday when hasn't rained in weeks and it's going to be perfect conditions?
I knew two things, and I said that right after the Woodbine Mile. We're going to get a fast turf course. It's going to be hard. And I know that we're going to like those turns. So I'm not, there's just so many things that can happen, especially in turf racing. Mm-hmm. But if you look at our prior success with Teppan and World Approval, they had the ability to stay close and, you know, adapt to the pace. And that's what got Stormy has too. So that's important. When you have a deep closer or something like that, you need things to go your way, where a lot of times with a Got Stormy or Teppan, they make their own luck mm-hmm. and race.
Mark, we really appreciate you joining us this morning. You're going to have a busy Friday and Saturday. Four juveniles going on Future Stars Friday, and then some of the stars of the barn, Got Stormy and War of Will, will be seeing them on Saturday. Best of luck both Friday and Saturday to you and your owners.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks so much.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World
Thanks
Championships.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport, comes business advisory expertise providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence. Located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton, business advisors, CPAs, consultants. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
Oaklawn Racing Casino Resort in Hot Springs, Arkansas begins its legendary thoroughbred racing season Friday, January 24th. Over $600,000 in average daily purses. Maiden special weights start at $85,000 and open allowance races start at $90,000. Plus, four $1 million stakes among a rich 33-race stakes schedule. Stall application deadline is November 7th. Plan now to be a part of Oaklawn's richest season ever. Oaklawn, a new level of racing, a new level of winning.
I'm here with Dr. Jim Chiappetta of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, exactly how do the Flair strips work?
Mike, remember that a horse only breathes through its nose when it's running. About 50% of the resistance to getting the oxygen through the nose and into the lungs is at the nasal passages. They're the narrowest part of the upper airway, and that's where Flair strips work. The strips are proven to help prevent the nasal passages from collapsing, so horses breathe easier and get the oxygen they need more efficiently.
Learn more at flarestrips.com/learn.
Mark your calendar for the Holiday Racing Festival at Penn National on Wednesday, November 27th. The card features three outstanding stakes races, the $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes, the $100,000 Swatara Stakes, and the $100,000 Blue Mountain Futurity. Plus, there's a special $3,500 holiday cash giveaway. First post is 6 p.m. Eastern, with the stakes included in the early pick four, comprised of races 1-4. Go to hcpn.com for details and rules.
Introducing the Spendthrift Farm, an unparalleled class of new stallions entering stud in 2020, headlined by four Breeders' Cup hopefuls, sprint contender Mattoli.
Mattoli wins the run, Happy Met Mile!
Dirt Mile contenders Omaha Beach and Colfront.
Omaha Beach, yes!
Colfront wins it for the U.S.
And classic contender Vino Rosso.
Vino Rosso, fantastico!
Best of luck to all the connections in this year's Breeders' Cup, Spendthrift. The Breeders' Farm.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, thoroughbred jockey, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Pine Tree Lane and Smile, and they are going at it, and they're stalked by Groovy as they come to the top of the stretch, and then it's five lengths to Bedside Promise Now, who swings to the outside. Taylor Special there toward the inside as the field turns for home. An astonishing half, 43-3, and they're coming to the final furlong. Smile digs in, he's holding on to a short lead. Pine Tree Lane is right at his neck. Groovy is still third. A late friend from Bedside Promise, and it's Smile. He's in front, and Smile is going to win it. And then it was Pine Tree Lane at Bedside Promise. Groovy, a disappointing fourth.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1986 Breeders' Cup Sprint here at Santa Anita, won by Smile for trainer Scotty Schulhofer. An exciting renewal of the sprint that year. We're looking forward to an exciting renewal of the sprint and all other Breeders' Cup races once again here in 2019. Bobby Newman alongside Megan Devine, Clocker's Corner at beautiful Santa Anita Park as we close out our second of three Breeders' Cup countdown shows. And let's take a look at what we've got coming up tomorrow on the program, Megan. And I've got maiden on the mind.
I guess I am a maiden.
Yeah. But you've won a few races.
I've won a few great races.
You've won a few races. So another great show on tap tomorrow. We're going to have Mike Smith on with us in the morning. Phil Leppertz, the owner of Smiling Tiger, who's been a really very productive stallion, especially in recent times. Max Pimlott from the International Racing Bureau will join us tomorrow. And we've got so many European shippers coming in for this year's Breeders' Cup. Maybe he'll be able to help us out a little bit. Dean Reeves, part owner of Channel Maker and fervently trying to get horse racing into the state of Georgia will be joining us. And Conrad Banderoff, the vice president of Denali Stud, will be with us as well. And they've consigned some great, great runners over the years. Well, another beautiful day winds down here on Clocker's Corner. We're going to have great weather throughout the week. We're certainly looking forward to inching ever closer to Breeders' Cup 2019. For Megan Devine, I am Bobby Newman. For producers Lee Delapina, Sean C., you're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown live on HRRN, your home for the 2019 Breeders' Cup World Championships.